welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Panthers. We're going to be talking about the Philadelphia Flyer game last night in Sunrise, Florida. And I think congratulations are in order to myself and Frank, because this is the fifth day in a row this week that we've actually done a podcast after having some sporadic episodic adventures. But hey, welcome to Locked On Panthers. My name is Josh, and I am part of PantherParkway.com. And joining me, as always, is my good friend and yours, Frank Rikus.
Happy Friday, everybody. At least, I hope it's happy Friday for you. Based on last night's game, there's not a heck of a lot to be happy about. I'm Frank Rikus, owner-operator of Panther Parkway, where opinions are our own and no one else's. You're listening to Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and every day this week we have brought you a podcast.
Now, what other Panther podcast can say that? Hey, Frank. Well, it's good to be here and talk about the Panthers, talk about hockey, but not a lot of joyous news to bring to listeners. Not a lot of fun things to talk about, but we're going to get into it in just a minute.
Yep.
We're going to see a little bit about what we can kind of learn from the game against the Philadelphia Flyers. Of course, it was the second game this week against Philadelphia, one in Philadelphia on Monday night. And, of course, last night in Sunrise, the Florida Panthers falling both times to the Philadelphia Flyers, but winning a game against New Jersey in between. Obviously, this was a big game for the Florida Panthers, not just because they were playing against a team that was competing with them for a wild card spot, though they were, and there's probably the direct competition, at least right now, for that second wild card spot to make the playoffs. Not only because Toronto is currently a couple points ahead of the Florida Panthers, and Toronto is starting to actually heat up a little bit. And you see that even though they lost last night to the Stars, they maintain their position in the Atlantic Division. But it was a big game for the Florida Panthers because it was a nationally televised game. That's right. The Philadelphia Flyers and Florida Panthers played on NBCSN in Sunrise. And honestly, Frank, right from the get-go, it was an unmitigated disaster. So let's get into it. We'll talk about the ramifications of this game in a moment, but let's just talk about the game itself. What were your observations?
Well, there's definitely nothing to be happy about. I don't even care that the Panthers made a late push early in the third period. As far as I'm concerned, I'm really getting kind of tired of that stuff. You know, I don't understand why you can't come out and play with intensity, play with desperation from the beginning of the game. We're in a playoff hunt. We are not sitting in a playoff position. And the goal should be, and you and I have talked about this many, many times, the goal should be to play for the Stanley Cup. But if your goal is to just make the playoffs, guess what? You're not going to make the playoffs. And we are staring another golf season starting in April once again. I don't get it. It's happened for the last umpteen years. It's three coaches have gone through this with this core. And I'm at the point now where I am beginning to question the ability, the determination, and the will to win with the core of this hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. Just to jump right into it, this is bad, and this is not you know, to kind of go to what you said there, Frank. You said playing with desperation from the beginning of every shift, every game. The problem is the Panthers shouldn't have to be desperate. There should be an ability to focus and get the job done. And it's really hard to remember a single game this season where the Panthers really dominated, where they were really in control of the game the whole time. Even in the games where they won by large margins, there was still long stretches of each game where they were getting beat, you know, up and down the ice. They were making mistakes in the defensive zone particularly. And tonight, all of that culminated in this disastrous game on national television. As the Panthers' defense just looked terrible. They just could not play with the kind of focus and solid positioning that was needed. And the sad part of it all is that Philadelphia is not even really that good. I mean, that's really the hardest part. I mean, yeah, they have some nice players, but they shouldn't be able to manhandle the Panthers the way that they did. Sergei Bobrovsky getting pulled for Samuel Montembeau. Just shameful for Bobrovsky to have to even go through all of that. And he didn't look great either. I mean, this was not... No. Sometimes I will give Bobrovsky a little bit of a pass because his defense really struggles. And they did struggle tonight. But even Bobrovsky was struggling. They just looked bad. And it's not about necessarily playing with desperation every moment of every shift. It's about playing with control. And that's where the Panthers lack... that's what the Panthers lack the most, I think, is control. The defense is not able to control the attackers and force them to the outside. The offense is not able to maintain control of the puck. And so instead, the desperation seeks in with these home run Hail Mary passes, these crazy point-to-point, zigzag entry schemes, and all this different things that they do. They just lose control of the game really fast as soon as there's one little mistake or one little turnover. And it was interesting. I'll say this, Frank, before I let you get back to it. It was interesting, though, to hear the national broadcast talk about the Panthers' defense a little bit more critically than maybe we're used to hearing on a broadcast. And I think they had some really good points in what they were saying about the Panthers' defense just lacking the focus and the ability to shut down the opponent.
Yeah, you know, it's mind-boggling after all the games that we've played this season. The team hasn't been loaded with injuries per se. They've had, you know, some nicks here and there. But I guess I can't put my finger on what the issues are for a team that does not have the ability to play smarter, to stick with their game plan. And yet we continue to hear the same things over and over and over again after every single loss. And it's said with, I don't know, a little bit of a calmness. I don't see the fire in the eyes that, you know, or the determination or the angst of after a loss that, you know, but it's the same stuff. We need to play better. We need to stick to the game plan. We need to have better starts. We need to not run into the hot goalie. I got to stop going to the beach on my day off. I mean, I don't know what the damn excuses continue to be, but it's just repetition. And we've heard it year after year after year. I don't get it. And I personally still think that there's a lack of leadership on the ice. This is not on the coaches. I don't believe that this is on the coaching staff at all. And you can go back to Bugner and Tom Rowe and Gerard Gallant and anybody else, this is on the players. And I've said it before this season, they've got to look in the mirror and say, am I doing and am I giving 100% every night? The mistakes, everybody makes mistakes, but how can you continue to make the same mistakes over and over?
Almost to the point where you can predict them. Like you watch it happen and go, well, here's the drop pass to nowhere, and then that happens. Or here's the poke check that fails, and then it happens. Because as Panther fans, we've been watching these games. You know, I'm sure the coaching staff is watching and rewatching these games, and they know that what the guys are about to do. And like you said, I really don't believe it's on the coaches. It's on the players. And we kind of have to step back and ask ourselves, like, is this young core good enough to compete? Are they good enough to win a Stanley Cup? And in this case, are they even good enough to make the playoffs? It's not okay to make excuses at this point about, well, they're all young. Because, Frank, no. They're not. They're not a bunch of rookies. They're not a bunch of guys who don't know what they're doing. And they're not a bunch of guys that don't have any experience. I mean, Frank, I mean, these guys have played a lot of games in the NHL. It's time to stop making excuses for them and start being honest about evaluating who and what they are.
And they, meaning the organization, has to stop being in love with these guys because we're not getting the results. I think that's the key. And you talk about, these are not rookies. No, they're not. And I prepared this because you and I were talking about it very quickly before the show, but, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, 523 NHL games. Barkov, 466 NHL games. Ekblad, 445. Trocheck, 414. These aren't kids. They're not kids anymore. They've had enough to get used to the NHL style, the NHL way, the rigors of the travel and all that. What's the problem?
That's the thing. I mean, like you said, most of them are either at or close to 500 games. Well, when guys get to 1,000 games, they're retiring. Yeah. Which means that these guys are like about halfway done. You know what I mean? With their careers. I know that they're still young. I know Ekblad's like 24, you know, and they're still young as far as age goes. But what I'm saying is that they've had the experience. The excuses are not there for them anymore. They are the leaders of this team. And if they can't get it done, then something has to happen. And something has to happen quickly. All right, Frank. Now, here's what I want to say. And I don't think that this is a hyperbole. I don't think this is an exaggeration. I think the next 10 days are going to be the most important 10 days in the history of the Florida Panthers franchise. And here's why I think that. In the next 10 days before the trade deadline, the Florida Panthers are going to have to make a decision. Now, we know it's pretty clearly obvious that the defense core for the Florida Panthers needs to be adjusted. But it's beyond just for this season. Yeah. The next 10 days are going to tell us whether or not the Florida Panthers management is going to be able to improve and be honest with themselves about what this team is. And I don't think I'm overstating it to say that if they don't do anything, as much as I've loved him over the years, I don't see how Dale Tallon can keep his job. I don't see how this management can stay in place. I don't see how they can misevaluate the situation that they're in. We've talked about it a lot. We talked a lot about it this week, Frank.
Yeah.
We've talked about the fact that this is not the time to sit back. This is the time to be aggressive. With Barkov and Huberto under manageable contracts, you cannot waste the next couple of years before you have to pay them what the market is going to pay them, where you're either going to lose them or you're going to have to pay so much for them that you're going to lose other pieces. The next three to four seasons are the window for this core, for these, you know, all-star caliber players to win as Florida Panthers. And because of that, this season, the 2019-20 season, cannot be chalked up to another learning experience. And so this is the time where the Panthers have to get serious. They have to make moves. They might have to trade away players that people really like. They may have to trade away prospects that the scouting team really likes in order to make this team able to win now. And if they don't do that in the next 10 days, then unfortunately this comes down to management. And unfortunately, as much as I love the guy, and I really truly do, I don't see how Dale Tallon can continue to lead this team if he doesn't recognize the situation and make adjustments at all costs. So, not to be dramatic, but that's how I feel.
No, there's a lot there, and I feel like you do. I really, really like Dale, and he's had a long time to get this team in the direction that, you know, we've all expected it to go. Yep, there was a bit of a burp when he got moved upstairs in that pseudo-promotion and we had to deal with the Tom Rowe effect. And I think in reality we're still dealing with some of the Tom Rowe effect, believe it or not, because the whole dynamic of the team, the whole character of the team has changed. And that's for me, that's the biggest thing right now that I think they need to look at is, does this team, as it's assembled today, have the character in the next 3 to 4 years to win a championship based on what we've seen this season with this head coach and his staff and the players on this team? Do the players have enough to get themselves to the Stanley Cup? I'm not going to answer that for you listeners. You probably have your own answers. Having said that, you're right, Josh, an evaluation has to happen. And if it hasn't been talked about up till now, it's going to be too late for them to talk about it at this point. Because you're right, some players have to be moved. There has to be an unpopular trade or two or three. And we may not like it. Well, too bad. Okay. But the character and the stuff, I mean, what even kind of team do we have? We're not puck possession. We're not physical. What are we? We were high scoring. Well, now that's kind of gone out the window. So I don't know what kind of team we have.
Middle of the road team, I think, is the answer there. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be good enough, and it's probably at this point hard to even say whether it's going to be good enough for a playoff spot. So there's going to have to be adjustments. And here's the thing: 3 weeks from now, the Panthers might go on a 5-game winning streak, and everyone's going to go, "Fa la 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 la! Look at this!" And everyone's going to be like, "See, everything's fine." No, it's not. Like,
No,
there's
it's a
serious
mirage.
issues. You can't go up and down like that. You can't be that maddeningly inconsistent. And just because you won some games because your offense scored 7 goals and the other offense scored 5, doesn't mean that you're a good hockey team. You shouldn't be letting in 5 goals, in those nights. So it's frustrating. And the Panthers are going to have to do something. Like I said, in the next 10 days, the next 10 days are the most important 10 days, maybe in the history of the franchise. The Italian, like we said, he's had 10 years to do this. And he's done a great job of bringing in, some pretty high caliber draft picks and some pretty nice pieces. 10 years minus, like you said, the Rowe year. But I mean, there comes a point where you go, what are you going to do now? You were strapped up against the cap. There's no wiggle room. We have a $10 million goaltender who's not even the top 20 in the league right now. As far as save percentage or goals against,
And no one saw that coming.
no one saw that coming except that in Columbus, Sergei Bobrovsky played in front of a really good defense that did the job that they needed to do. I mean, tonight it was a revealing tweet from our pal George Richards over at The Athletic. He said this: "It seems fair to say that every team in the league knows A, Sergei Bobrovsky is going to give up rebounds, and B, the Florida Panthers aren't going to get to them like Columbus did. Opposing teams have been cleaning up around the net." It's absolutely 1,000,000% true, George. Teams know. They know that if they come in, they're not going to be challenged at all defensively, at all physically. And teams have got the number. And so, yeah, we've won some games where we've scored a whole bunch of goals on the other end of the ice, but that doesn't matter. And when you get to the playoffs, you're going to get absolutely embarrassed if you can't play defense.
And I made an observation on Twitter, and it could be part of my snark, could be part of me being insensitive. I mean, I got up on the wrong side of the bed today, so things are really ticking me off. But something to the effect of, Q looks like a genius when he has put Pisick as a forward, a natural defenseman, and then Matheson as a forward, another natural defenseman. And yeah, they had that great game against New Jersey. Woohoo, it's New Jersey. And Pisick has had some, very good moments. But what are we really saying here when we take two natural defensemen and making them play forward? I think what we're saying is, I need some players. Get me some players. I don't care how you get them, just get them. Especially when you have Jace Hauerluck and Dennis Malgin, natural forwards, skilled forwards who can't crack the lineup. If Hauerluck and Malgin can't crack the lineup and Pisick and Matheson are playing in their spot, what are we saying?
Well, it goes beyond that because, and I see what you're saying, Frank, about you're saying that you need players, but what it's also saying is Quinville's saying these guys aren't defensemen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
Right, yes.
these guys are not good enough to even play in my bottom pairing, and so the only way that I can get them in there because they're making a lot of money is to put them on the fourth line. I mean, there's that aspect of it too.
Yeah, I mean, Boy, it's just a real head scratcher, and I can't believe we're where we at game 55, and this is the predicament that we've put ourselves into. So now we're 2 points behind Toronto in the Atlantic Division, and we're 6 points behind Philly in the wild card. So we're getting further away from the wild card, and we can't even keep pace in our division. And Toronto lost tonight, so we could have been at least tied with them for a playoff spot. But no, we tripped on our stick. And came out and laid a real egg. And again, the third period massive comeback is just, boys, the game started at 7. It didn't start at 9 o'clock.
And that seems to be the consistent problem with the Panthers is not showing up, trying to be the comeback cats defense. I mean, like our other buddy, not George Richards, but George the Collar always says.
The
And
defense
it's just, man, I don't know, Frank. It's so disheartening. It's so frustrating, and you wonder why Florida Panther fans are always so frustrated. It just seems like it's one thing after another after another with this team, whether it's customer service, whether it's the product on the ice, whether it's management decisions. Like, it's just one thing after the other, and there comes a point where something needs to change, something needs to get shaken up. And like I said, these next 10 days are really going to be important, and we're going to be covering them for you, of course, with the podcast and with the website. So, Frank, I want to throw this out there. We threw up a new feature at Panther Parkway. It's a shop. We have our own store now, and
Cool.
we got a couple of fun things. So we threw up a new t-shirt design during the game last night, and it's based on our pal George, who always says,
The
and
defense
it's kind of a fun t-shirt that says the defense suck, and then it's attributed to George, and hashtag FLA Panthers. So if you want to check that out, go to pantherparkway.com, click on store, and you can see there's a couple other fun designs. We have the We May Win But I May Die t-shirt that was popular a couple months ago. We also have a Locked On Panthers t-shirt. And so if you, man, if I go to a game and you're wearing a Locked On Panthers t-shirt, like I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be so excited. Frank will open up
I
his
got a,
wallet,
yeah, I got
give
a
you 20
polo for
bucks.
Christmas, right?
Yeah, you got a polo. It's pretty cool. Yeah, you can get a Locked On Panthers podcast t-shirt, and if you Frank sees you wearing one of those, he'll give you $20 to reimburse you for the t-shirt. That's what he told me before the show. So
Great.
make sure you
Just beware, boys and girls. I don't travel with a lot of cash on me.
yeah, we'll have to teach him how to Venmo. So anyway, but yeah, there's that, and then there's also a Trocheck shirt says for check, back check, tro check, paycheck. So kind of fun. And there's a few other things. So check that out. You can get a coffee cup and some other stuff. So we just wanted to tell you about that. That's not us making money. Trust me. We're not really making any money on that. It's just us having fun talking about the Panthers and wanting you guys to enjoy that as well. So check out pantherparkway.com to get your latest merch. And that way you can let everyone in your family and friends know that you think.
The
So,
Oh,
make sure you
boy.
check that out. All right. Well, Frank, I don't know how to really sign off of this show on a positive note because there's a lot of negativity, coming in from all of this. But we're going to be back next week. We're going to be doing the podcast. We're going to have a lot to say, I'm sure. Saturday night, the Florida Panthers are going to play the Connor McDavid-less Edmonton Oilers. So we've got that game, 4 o'clock start, kind of a weird thing there, but it's also, I believe, it's also Hockey Day across America. And
I believe
so,
you're right. Yes.
yeah,
Yes.
so there's going to be games kind of starting at noon and going all day. And it culminates with the outdoor game with Colorado and Los Angeles. So, big day of hockey, but the Panthers will have the Edmonton Oilers at 4 o'clock. And then Monday, we'll be back doing the show. But the Panthers start their road trip in San Jose the Wednesday night. They're going to be in Anaheim Thursday night. They're going to be in Los Angeles, and then next Saturday night against Las Vegas in Vegas. So quite a big road trip that the Panthers are going to have leading into the trade deadline. Of course, the trade deadline being 1 week from Monday on February 24th. So going to be a big week of traveling for the Panthers, trying to bank some more points, and it's going to be really interesting with only one more Panthers home game before the trade deadline. It's going to be really interesting to see that if next time the Panthers get together after Saturday's game, if they look the same.
Yeah, this road trip is absolutely crucial, not only for the balance of the season, but for the future of the team. And the trade deadline is, they'll be done with the road trip by the time that trade deadline comes upon us. So I don't know. If some guys want to be here, they're going to have to really show that they want to be here. But this is now on Panthers management to make a determination on what needs to be done. And I would not want to be in their shoes.
Actually, Frank, I think they're still going to be on the road because the day after the trade deadline is they're in Arizona. So they're still going to be on that West Coast trip. So really, this Saturday is their last home game before they're going to be on the West Coast. And they won't be back until they play the aforementioned Toronto Maple Leafs on the February 27th at home. So that'll be the next time that we see the Panthers in Sunrise. And they'll be playing against Toronto probably still for a playoff spot at that point. So big game that night. And make sure you continue to follow along. You can connect with us on Twitter at Panther Parkway. We've got a lot of fun stuff on that Twitter feed. Make sure you check it out. Also, you can follow Frank at Frank Rikus. And you can follow me at Josh_LO. Panthers. If you want to call in next week for Talk Back Thursday, hey, we'd love to hear from you. Just go ahead and pull out your phone and call 954-228-0630, and you can leave us a voicemail. We had some great ones yesterday. Make sure you leave us a voicemail. Tell us what you think about the trade deadline, what you think about the Panthers, and we'd love to get that feedback from you. And, of course, check out PantherParkway.com, which for all your Panther article needs. All right, for this week's final edition, this Friday edition of Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening.